Welcome to the Lister Health Talks podcast. Each month, listen in as a team focuses their discussion on relevant, relatable health content that empowers your health and the readiness of the force. Today, we're cleared for takeoff on this special episode, Taking Flight with Aviation Medicine. Lister Army Health Clinic is located at the home of Army Aviation in Fort Rucker, Alabama. Today, we'll explore how aviation medicine continues to pioneer research, develop protocols, and provide care to our aviation community. Aviation isn't just about machines, it's about the remarkable soldiers who operate them and the amazing docs that keep them medically ready. Join us as we navigate the cutting edge of this medical specialty, aviation medicine. Let's get started.
Welcome back to this month's episode of Lister Health Talks. I'm Lieutenant Colonel Stetter, the Commander and Director of Lister Army Health Clinic. Lister isn't just part of aviation medicine history, we are the future. Aviation medicine wasn't born out of convenience, it was built out of necessity. From the earliest days of Army flight, commanders and doctors recognized that aviators operate in an unforgiving environment where even minor medical issues can mean catastrophic consequences. That necessity sparked innovation. Lister isn't just a clinic, it's the birthplace of operational aeromedical doctrine. From pioneering flight surgeon integration to shaping how we assess, protect, and sustain aviators, Lister's legacy is in every cockpit across the Army. So I'm lucky enough to be joined today by two of aerospace medicine's experts, Colonel Matt Hofer, who is the consultant to the Surgeon General for Aerospace Medicine, and our very own Deputy Commander of Clinical Services, who happens to also be an aerospace medicine physician. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you. Thanks for having us here.
Please tell us a little bit about yourselves and just your backgrounds.
Go ahead, Joe. You can go.
I'm an aerospace medicine trained physician, also trained in occupational medicine. I graduated the RAM program, as it's called, here at Fort Rucker, and now I'm the Deputy Commander for Clinical Services and also the Chief Medical Officer for the clinic.
And I'm also an aerospace medicine specialist, as you said, consultant to the Surgeon General. My pathway is a little bit different. I started out as a Medical Service Corps officer, actually, for 6 years at Fort Bragg, and then went to medical school, came back, and went right into aerospace medicine. I became a flight surgeon first, and then an aerospace medicine specialist. But our residency back then was in Pensacola, so I had to spend two horrific years at Pensacola Naval Air Station along the beach, and then started my career in aviation medicine and combat aviation brigades.
Very rough to be at Pensacola.
It was horrible.
As you mentioned, the residency program has moved up here. What makes Lister so special to aviation medicine?
I think start out with it's the history. I mean, it's really the home of Army Aviation Medicine within the home of Army Aviation here at Fort Rucker. We've had a long history of training, clinical care, research that all have revolved kind of around Lister. Even physically, those places right now are kind of around the Lister campus. And it all ties into the clinical care that continues. Your focus at Lister is very heavily Army aviators. And so a lot of the work you do is tied into really innovative research standards and things that are kind of aviation unique and specific. It's just a different flavor of ice cream.
No, absolutely. Something that caught me off guard when I took command, that Lister flight surgeons and in combination with the RAM residents do approximately 25 to 27% of the Army's flight physicals annually.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. We actually had an initiative over the past year over at the Air Medical Research Laboratory where I just came from. I just came out of command there. We just did a study in the last year to look at how many clinical encounters in flight medicine occur across the Army, really to try and target where the greatest number are and make sure that we're focusing on putting flight medicine professionals, both flight surgeons and aerospace medicine professionals, in the spaces that are doing the most clinical work. Trying to establish some, you know, kind of concrete foundation to those clinical spaces, those medical facilities, to make sure that our aviators get, you know, really good care, timely care, and get what they need when they need it.
Thanks, sir. What I heard, though, is the commander is that you're going to give me more staff and flight surgeons next year.
That's funny. My mic doesn't seem to be working. I didn't hear the same thing, but that's okay.
This is a great opportunity for both our active duty flight surgeons and civilian flight surgeons to learn because, as you mentioned, it's also the home of the residency program as well as the flight surgeon program. But I think that some people probably confuse the difference between a flight surgeon and a RAM. Can you guys talk a little bit about the difference?
Yes, ma'am. So a flight surgeon, it's someone who's trained here at the Army's Flight Surgeon course, which is a six-week course that pretty much any provider, physician assistant, or nurse practitioner can take if they're eligible. And it qualifies them to then perform flight physicals and determine who's safe to fly in the Army. A RAM is a aerospace medicine specialist. RAM stands for resident in aerospace medicine. We retain that name even after residency. So we're called RAMs. Every service has them, Air Force, Navy, Army, Coast Guard. But what a RAM is someone who is specifically trained. Like a flight surgeon might be a family medicine provider who took the flight surgeon course. A RAM is somebody who went to residency for aerospace medicine specifically. So they get more training in aerospace medicine.
Yeah, that's right. And a RAM is really trained in the full spectrum of aerospace medicine. Dive medicine into the highest altitudes. We have a lot of space medicine in our training, so a lot of correlates with austere environments that NASA has to work with, we do in the Army and the Navy and the Air Force as well. So it's really full spectrum. It's a lot of occupational health. It's a lot of standards. It's a lot of unique environments. And so really it's a higher level of training in those spaces to be more in the policymaking and research and significant clinical spaces within aviation medicine.
No, I know we see flight surgeons or RAMs throughout almost every base at the Army, or at least most, especially the ones that have combat aviation brigades. But can you talk a little bit about the flight surgeon's role within the Army in general, as well as Army aviation medicine?
Yes, ma'am. I can start off. One of the primary reasons the Army has flight surgeons is to put into combat aviation brigades where the majority of the pilots are located. The combat aviation brigades augment maneuver divisions, and they provide a combat capability. The flight surgeon's role in those units is to ensure the pilots, one, that the pilots and the air crew are safe to fly, and two, that there's safe conditions for them while they're working and operating in those units. So that's the primary role of flight surgeons and aerospace medicine specialists in the military, well, in the Army specifically. But we also do other things. Research, like the Air Medical Research Lab that Colonel Hofer commanded. There's several flight surgeon positions there. The Department of Aviation Medicine, co-located here at Lister Army Health Clinic, has multiple positions there involved in everything from training new aerospace medicine physicians to teaching the flight surgeon course to assisting or overseeing the Joint En Route Casualty Care course, the introduction to rotary wing aviation course, and multiple other courses that they have there at the schoolhouse. But there's a lot of unique jobs throughout the Army for flight surgeons and definitely for aerospace medicine specialists.
And the specialty is really unique from other physician specialties in that aerospace medicine professionals really, we tie to Army aviation throughout the career of an aviator. They arrive here at Fort Rucker and we teach them. We're part of their first classes to understand the air medical effects of flight. We do research to make sure they're safe and they're high performing. And we do research to make sure that medevac is the best it can be on the planet. We manage their standards to make sure that those are kept up to date. So when things happen to aviators in the clinical space, we make sure they continue to be safe to fly. We're in their combat aviation brigades, providing them clinical care and serving as staff officers and giving great, great advice to 06 and 05 level aviation commanders. And when the worst things happen, a day of a mishap, we're there as well. We're there in the clinical space, making sure that aviators that survive can recover and managing that and looking at the effects of the mishap and looking at investigations and trying to make sure we prevent them in the future. So it's not a one or two event clinical encounter and then that soldier goes away. We're with Army aviators throughout their career and no other specialty does that.
No, I think that's great. And I definitely, you can tell in particular in a cab how important the flight surgeons are to those pilots and the relationships that are developed between you guys amongst the maneuver force is pretty impressive. In your guys' experience, or can you tell a little bit about, because I think we have some joint listeners on here, is a Army flight surgeon interchangeable with, say, an Air Force or Navy flight surgeon?
In a lot of spaces, an Army flight surgeon or an Army air medical specialist is interchangeable, probably about 80% of the job, because in the clinical space, a physician's a physician. As long as you have some operational experience in aviation, the Air Force, the Army, and the Navy all do the same thing. The uniqueness in the programs, and really the reason we have three different programs, are involved in the uniqueness of the airframes. The Army doesn't do ejection seats. We're very heavily rotary wing. The Navy has a lot of different environments when you're talking about putting an airplane on a football field in the middle of the ocean of salt water and all those other environmental impacts. So that's the uniqueness, but most of what we do is really interchangeable, and we have a great interchangeable relationship with those services. We train together, we have academic pursuits together, we research together, and so the interchangeable spaces are really powerful.
I think some of our listeners have heard before that some of the requirements for the aviators, one of the main ones is to do a flight physical annually, as well as if they see a provider, sometimes they need to see a flight surgeon for either an upslip or a downslip. Can you talk a little bit about some of the initiatives that Lister, as well along with the Army Aviation Community, have been doing to improve access?
Yeah, so the first one is the one we already mentioned in regards to doing a little bit of research and finding out where the most throughput is and making sure that we cover those. Lister is working on a virtual flight medicine program that Major Adams is kind of heading. I don't know if you want to talk about that a little.
Yes, so the Defense Health Agency is actually leading an effort to increase access to virtual healthcare. So for those people who can't come in or who might benefit from a virtual encounter, there's an effort to expand that capability throughout the military. Here at Lister, we're looking at expanding, or the possibility of expanding that to flight physicals. And we're starting off here at Lister and on Fort Rucker with a small defined population to make sure it's feasible and to identify any efforts with things like workflows and administrative side of it. And we're at the phase now where we're ready to expand that to other locations. That'll be happening in the next few months. But yeah, that's an exciting thing because there are a lot of locations in the Army, including National Guard and Reserves, where flight physicals aren't always possible or require a significant amount of effort and travel to get a flight physical. So a virtual capability would really help out a lot of units in the military, in the Army specifically.
Yeah, that's absolutely correct. So those two things, making sure that we have MTFs who have solid foundations for aviation medicine and making sure we have a virtual option, really create concrete opportunities for all COMPOs. COMPO 1, 2, and 3 can know where they're going to get their health care no matter where they move.
No, that's great. I definitely look forward to seeing where these initiatives will take, because as we all know, if any soldier or in particular aviator that aren't flight cleared, they're not mission ready. So our job as leaders and your job as providers and planners is definitely to keep pushing for smarter systems, faster access, and which ultimately will create a more medically lethal force. That being said, there's a lot of transformation ongoing within the military right now with technology has definitely improved over time. But where do you see the future of Army aviation medicine going as the Army transforms a particular Army aviation?
That's a really great question, something that we've been talking about a lot over the past couple of years. At its foundation, really no change. Aviation is and will remain a human endeavor. So we're always going to put aviators in the cockpit. We need to make sure they're fit. We need to enhance their performance and make sure they can do more, especially as the battlefield gets more complex and we start adding launched effects, start adding more capability to platforms. So that's always going to be the same. The uniqueness of the future environment is a whole lot of UAS, right? And so that human-machine interface and how aviators who maybe aren't in the battlefield but are operating from miles and miles away still need to be able to understand the battlefield. And so making sure that we have the highest fidelity human-machine interface and making sure we have operators who can manage those machines, multiple machines at a time in a lot of cases, but still withstand the effects of that is still going to be important. The effects may be different. We're going to worry less about G. We're going to worry more about behavioral health. We're going to worry less about heat injuries. We're going to worry more about sensory and make sure that vision and hearing and all those things are up to par to be able to control multiple effects, multiple vehicles. So its foundation is the same, but the place we're accelerating into is really cool and requires an aerospace medicine physician who understands the environment to really make those decisions and help guide commanders in those decisions.
I fully agree, sir. Within the combat aviation brigades in particular, there's going to be an ongoing requirement for a aerospace physician or a flight surgeon who's familiar with the aviation environment, regardless of whether we're talking about unmanned aerial systems or helicopters or even fixed-wing aircraft. The commanders are going to need to know what the medical risks are, what actions they need to take, and what decisions need to be made. And that's where the aerospace medicine physician comes in and the flight surgeon.
We've done a lot of work in the past couple of years to make sure that there's a common understanding of the different levels of flight surgeon that we've discussed, a short course, six-week flight surgeon, an aerospace medicine physician. We also have air medical PAs that have been around forever and are phenomenal clinicians in the combat aviation brigades, and air medical nurse practitioner as well, which are a little bit newer, but still have a very, very significant role in our MTFs and getting aviators ready to fly. In the past, we've had some difficulty differentiating between the two types of physicians, and over the past few years, we've made a change. So 61 November used to be all flight surgeons. Now, the 61 November is uniquely an aerospace medicine professional, and a ASI of Fox 8 is a short course flight surgeon. So that's going to make it easier for aviators and aviation commanders to understand what capability they're getting in their combat aviation brigade, and make sure that we put the right people in the right positions with the right responsibilities to manage the complexity of aviation.
It definitely sounds like the future of Army aviation medicine is bright. I know aviation medicine was built out of necessity. It sounds like there's always going to be a need for aviation medicine. It definitely, the necessity is going to keep growing. I mean, your specialty was derived out of necessity. No one wants somebody flying a multi-million dollar aircraft that's not medically fit. You both bring a wealth of experience. Can you talk a little bit about what is the difference between a combat aviation brigade doc versus a brigade combat team doc?
Yes, ma'am. So I actually have been both. And so I started out as a battalion doc for the support squadron with a striker brigade combat team. And when I was there, it's similar in some aspects in that you're embedded in the unit and you are a staff officer as well as a medical provider. So that commander relies on you. You're part of their special staff, the same as a chaplain and a lawyer. So they look to you for advice for anything medical. So you're advising the commander on what he or she needs to know with regards to medical, but at the same time, you're taking care of the soldiers in that unit. And you're also making sure that the medical personnel in the unit are ready. They're capable of performing their functions. You oversee the medical training. You're working with the medics day in and day out and things like that. So that's a brigade combat team type battalion provider. Now, a flight surgeon does all of those things for the aviation unit that they're with. But on top of that, they're familiar with the aviation environment. They're flying with the pilots. And they're familiar with the medical aspects of and medical considerations involved with flying. That's the main difference.
I think the uniqueness of a flight surgeon, especially in a combat aviation brigade, is they're a crew member. They're expected to be fully functional on an aviation platform. They oftentimes operate as a crew chief or a flight medic, even though their primary roles and responsibilities are outside of that. They supervise those people as well. So it's really more deeply embedded in the roles and responsibilities of operating that combat vehicle. Whereas a surgeon in an infantry or a striker or an airborne or an air assault brigade isn't necessarily going to be a crew member in that space.
Aviation's been around since the turn of the 20th century. And since then, there have been a lot of lessons learned. Lots of changes have been made in the safety realm. And at this point in the game, from a maintenance, safety, and training standpoint, the Army and the military in general has a lot of those things down. There's redundant systems. There's a lot of safety measures that are done. There's workflows and processes that are specifically designed to prevent mishaps. So now we look to mitigate the impact of human factors on aviation mishaps. So that's where the flight surgeon and the aerospace provider comes in. That's arguably the primary reason we exist in the military, is to identify and mitigate health conditions and anything else medical that might contribute to a decrease in safety from a human factors perspective.
You guys are definitely a force multiplier in general in regards to that. And technically, you are the medical safety net before a mishap happens. As we wrap up today, do you have any final words to leave our listeners with?
Yeah, I really just want to thank you for having us on the podcast and giving us the opportunity to showcase aerospace medicine and its really powerful role in operational medicine and what Army physicians do in that operational space. I think it's really important to understand.
Thanks for having me, man.
Thank you both for joining today. It's been a pleasure. And sir, it's been a pleasure to have you at Fort Rucker to give guidance and mentorship. And we're going to miss having the consultant in the Lister Annex.
That's excellent. Thank you.
The Lister Health Talks podcast is produced by the Lister Army Health Clinic Public Affairs Office at Fort Novosel. You can catch all of our episodes on your favorite streaming platforms. Stay healthy, Fort Rucker.